Hello and welcome back to or welcome to the Tread Lightly podcast. If you're a returning listener, thank you for joining us again. And if you're new, we are super excited to have you listening to us today. I'm Laura. I am the co-host and I'm a running coach at Laura Norris Running.
And I am your co-host, Amanda Brooks of Run to the Finish. So I'm really excited about this. We've had so many questions about strength training. And while this isn't going to be us like trying to give you exact movements, we will give you some ideas. I think going through a lot of the common questions and a lot of the science around it might just help to sort of demystify some things. And I don't know. I'm going to say I hope it helped motivate you to do it. I saw one study that was from 2020 that said only 10 to 30% of adults were getting in enough strength-based work. I'm a little curious if that has shifted at all because I feel like 2020 shifted a lot of things, but that's such a low percentage.
It is. And 2020 did have a profound impact on exercise participation across the board. But so I'd be curious to see that, but still at the same time, like given the problems in America with sedentary lifestyles and stuff, it doesn't shock me, that statistic, unfortunately. And I do wonder if there's like a difference between Gen Pop and more active populations like runners also.
Yeah, for sure. It didn't break that down. And I do feel like when I ask the question now on Instagram, so I'll often do polls and usually get about 4,000 people to respond. The number of people who now say they are strength training is much, much higher than it was a few years ago. So that's definitely exciting to see.
Absolutely, yeah. And a lot of my athletes strength train regularly, which, you know, maybe there's outside influence. I'm telling them to do it. But it's a definite win to see this becoming more of a trend. Now, kind of to jump into this topic, but bridge into it a little bit more, I guess, what does your general training schedule look like? How do you incorporate strength training with your running?
I think this is an interesting one because people are always generally trying to figure out like, how the heck do I do all of this? So I am not marathon training. I will say that. Usually my mileage right now is between 30 to 40 miles a week. Whether I'm just running for me or training for a 10K, that's been kind of the goal the last couple of years. So for me, I tend to run Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Wednesday is my hard speed workout day, and Saturday is usually my long run with some speed in it a lot of times. So then for me, strength training, I know what all the theories say. I should do it on my speed work day, but you know what? I'm tired. So a lot of times what'll happen is Tuesday, I will do upper body. So yes, that's the day before my speed work day, but my legs still feel fine. So I'm okay with that. And then Thursday oftentimes is when I'll end up doing lower body or full body because I don't have a problem getting in a little more upper there. And then that gives me Friday to completely rest. So I feel pretty good come Saturday. And then a lot of times right now I'm trying to get in another full body on Sunday. So I'm trying to get in kind of three sessions. Most people know that I am such a proponent of the warm-up. So there's usually at least 5 minutes of like mini band kind of strength type work that you'll see me doing before every single run. And I think for me, I just know that's a little bit of like PT that keeps things away and stays on top of that hip and glute kind of strength. What about you? What's your schedule tend to look like?
Yeah. So before all runs, I do, like you said, a mini band PT work on those tiny little accessory muscles like the glute med that can give a lot of issue. I run on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday right now. I recently like shook up my schedule. So Mondays is an easy run. Tuesdays are my hard workout of the week. Wednesdays I lift and I do a total body lift that usually takes like 40 to 45 minutes there. Mostly like heavy work, a little bit of accessory work in that. Thursdays are an easy run with strides. Fridays, I'm doing my long runs right now because I don't know, it feels like it snows every Saturday. at the time of recording this. Anna just is also working with our family schedule right now. And then Saturdays I do an easy run and then I try to lift again afterwards. My husband's doing like a lot of those like Apple Fitness strength workouts right now. And so sometimes I'll do my own lift, but sometimes I've just been like, I'm going to do this with you because it's time we have together. In the past, I used to lift more and double it up on hard workout days, but that was a different phase of life. And now, you know, if it comes down to it, I'd rather take a family walk in the evenings than do a lift as a second workout in the evenings.
I had a male coach leave a comment at one point that sort of stated like, oh, if you can't manage to do your speed work and your strength work on the same day, then you're basically not fit enough to be doing one of those or you need to change your schedule. And so I just want to say this at the beginning of the episode before everything else, like they're trying to be perfect or to do it to some exacting standard is a great way to not do it at all. And the worst possible thing you could do is not do it at all. So figure out how you can get strength training into your schedule in a way that still allows you to feel rested or recovered for your next workout and worry less about perfection. It was probably one of the most frustrating comments. There was much more to it. But I just think it's so easy to say like, oh, you have to do it this way, but you don't have to do it a certain way. You need to figure out when can I do it so that I will do it. And if I'm doing it when I'm exhausted, so I'm just kind of putting in like less than half effort and I might have really bad form. Yeah, that's not great. I would rather you do it the next day.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting you say that because the strength coach I work with, Mary Johnson, I use her app, is super knowledgeable and she's never said nonsense like that. She's usually like, do it the day after when you'll be able to have better form, just like you said. But B, there's no studies that say lifting the afternoon after your speed workout is the best way to do it. Like there's absolutely no evidence that says that. It's just something that's come into common practice under the idea of like hard days hard, easy days easy. But like it's not the set in stone principle, and that's what gets me.
Yeah. So hard days hard, easy days easy. The theory there is if you layer all of that, your speed work and your lifting, into the same day, that's all your hard stuff. So the next day, your body can really just fully recover. And that is a great idea. And if you can make it happen, like, awesome. But if you can't, again, like, it's just not the end of the world.
Yeah. Like, I have some athletes who do that approach because it works for them. I have even more athletes who don't do that approach. And we'll talk about timing a little bit more in detail and some of the literature beyond that. But let's start actually with the benefits of lifting. Like before we get into the how, let's talk about why you should spend time and energy lifting weights when you'd rather just run.
When you would rather run, that is the key. I think for me, there are a couple of things that I tend to point out that will get people to do it even when they would rather not. And one of those simply has to do with the fact that we know starting in like our 30s, we start losing muscle mass. And if you're losing muscle, then it's going to be much harder to maintain the speed that you want to maintain the endurance that you want to. And especially for women who tend to start out with a little bit less muscle mass. And then I hear a lot of frustrations in perimenopause or menopause about weight gain. But we've lost a lot of muscle mass, so we've just kind of slowed everything down for our body. So I start with that. Like if I can just get you to like cling on to that, that's, you know, a good way to start. And then of course, like even thinking about bone density. So lifting heavy will help more with bone density even than running, which is kind of interesting to look at.
Yeah, that's often what I think when I don't want to lift. I'm like, go do this stupid little lift for your stupid little bone. It has very favorable impacts on bone mineral density, more so than running. It can possibly be protective against bone stress-related injuries for runners, which none of us want that, obviously. There are performance benefits also. However, the one thing that's really important to look at when we see them in the literature is that their performance benefits coming to well-trained runners, not to poorly trained or low volume runners. And I think that's a really important distinction because we don't want to like cut back runs significantly, put in more strength than you're doing running and expect to run faster. Instead, all these studies that saw performance improvements, they kept in the amount of running they were doing and added strength. There was actually one study where when they looked at like low volume, poorly trained novice runners, strength training didn't have any impact. But in well-trained runners, 2 days of heavy resistance training plus plyometrics can have improvements in running economy and VO2 max. Now, a lot of these studies were done with male athletes, but as we talked about in our last episode, it's not like women are that drastically different of a species. We're both human. And what's really interesting about some of the studies is some of them looked at 5K runners, but some of them, including a 2017 study, looked at ultra runners. So it's not even intensity dependent. We're seeing this improvement in running economy across submaximal paces as well.
And then obviously the big one we mention all the time is also just injury prevention. So strength alone is not like a preventative factor, but when you're doing strength training, you're often just building, say, your hips or your glutes in a way that teaches them how to maintain good form while you're running. So they're less likely to fatigue. And if they don't fatigue, then your knee doesn't fall inward. So then you don't have IT band issues, or you've strengthened your ankles so that when you're out there on the trails, they have a better chance of just giving you that stability and rolling as they need to. So it's always kind of a weird, like, there will be people that are like, strength training is not injury prevention. And I know what they're saying. You can still get injured, but there are a lot of benefits to preventing some common issues by having built up some strength.
Especially when you think about the fact that if you get injured, say you get IT band syndrome or something, and you go to a physical therapist, they will more likely than not prescribe exercises to strengthen weak areas. So while it's not preventative in the fact that it's not going to completely remove your injury risk, like, you might as well do those exercises before you get injured than get injured and have to do those exercises anyway.
And I will say, after I had knee surgery in 2017, I was back to running within about 10 weeks. And talking with the PT, he was like, that is the speed at which I would see like an, you know, professional basketball player come back. And he was like, that is because you specifically had spent months and months and months doing a lot of strength work before this ever happened. So you are then able a lot of times to come back faster from injuries. I mean, it's still a slow process, but it's faster. And then once you get back, you don't have as much to rebuild because you didn't lose even more muscle with time out.
Yes, that is a huge benefit. So then if we hopefully have convinced you why you should strength train if you aren't already, the first question I get about like how to incorporate it is, well, I don't want to be too so sore that I can't run. I lift weights and I feel super beat up and I feel too tired to run the next day. So how do we prevent that level of DOMS, and how can we address those concerns to like assure athletes it's going to be okay?
I will 100% be the first to admit that I used to say I don't do lower body because then I am too sore to run. And again, this has been a very long time ago now, but it was before people were talking that much about strength. So I think there are a couple of things I always kind of look to. One is that remembering that the goal of a good strength program is not to leave you super sore. So if you're doing workouts and you are so sore for like 2 days, 3 days after, it's too much. It doesn't matter how the workout was written. It is too much. So you need to scale it back. That might be scaling back number of reps. That might be scaling back the total rounds. So maybe it's 3 rounds and you just do 2. That's okay. You want the program to progress with you. So if you've started something and you're like, every time I do these workouts, I just stay super sore, it's too much. Scale it back. That's okay. It's totally fine. So there's going to be a little bit of a process of your body adjusting anytime you do something that's new. So even if you threw in a long bike ride and you haven't gone for a bike ride in 6 years, your muscles are going to be sore because you did something totally new. So I think expect that when you first start, there's going to be a little bit more soreness. So maybe you're planning that in the off season, and then know that it's going to get better even as you're able to do more and push yourself harder.
And I think your point about like a well-programmed strength program shouldn't make you overly sore all the time is important. Like, so often people are like, I'm going to do a different lift every single week. But if you are really wanting to not get sore and have the adaptations that we want for running, you're probably going to actually repeat the same lifting workout for like 4 to 6 weeks. Maybe you'll increase some weights, but you're going to have those same exercises and basic rep schemes with like slight progressive overload for 4 to 6 weeks. And that really helps because, like you said, novelty creates DOMS. As being more adapted to something doesn't create as much DOMS. Like, think about the first time you ran 10 miles versus now running 10 miles regularly in your run training.
The other thing that's really important for those who are, you know, really enjoying heavy lifting, when you're looking at your total volume of workouts and intensity, you have to remember that a really heavy lifting session could equate to a hard speed workout in terms of the breakdown that's being caused and your bodily stress. So we have some athletes who come to us and they're now the fantastic term of hybrid athlete. They love their heavy lifting and they want to run, and that's awesome. But it does mean that maybe you need to scale back a little bit of the speed because your body is under more stress than you realize. So it's not just your cardio. If you're truly doing some heavy lifting, you need to really think about how you're layering your workouts during the course of the week.
Absolutely. And then nutrition is a part of it also. Like, a lot of times people aren't necessarily scaling up their energy intake, their carbohydrate intake, protein intake for adding workouts per week. So think about, like, if you add 2 resistance training sessions per week that are 30 to 45 minutes each, you just added 60 to 90 minutes of activity to your week. You need to adjust your nutrition for that. And protein is especially helpful for resistance training because it aids in muscle repair. I also guarantee you, like, the protein recommendations for runners have gone up a lot in the past few years. You're probably already not getting enough protein as a runner in general.
Yep. One of the recent books I was reading, Outlive by Peter Attia, he was diving into some studies and showing that if you just ate like the FDA recommended amount and you're anywhere over the age of 30, you're probably losing muscle mass because you need more protein than the very basic recommendation. And if you're strength training, we need absolutely more, especially if you want to actually build any kind of muscle.
Yes. And then the other thing, like, and this kind of segues into like the next topic of like timing. But if you're running and lifting like back to back, like you do your 6-mile run and then you do a 45 minute lift, fuel those as if they are one singular workout. So like, it might feel weird to finish your run and take a gel before you go into your lift or eat a bar or something, but that substrate availability will really help how your lift goes and it will really help your recovery after.
That is such a great tip. I often will get questions about that. Like, if I'm lifting in the morning but not running and my lift is only 30 minutes, then I don't have to fuel because you say I only need to fuel when my runs are X minutes long. But no, we still want that availability of fuel so that you can have the best workout, so that you can get the most benefits from it. I think that's how I always look at it. If I'm going to put in the time to do this, then I want to get the most out of it. So when it comes down to timing, a couple of the keys really that we want to just sort of make sure are in there. We, yes, talked a little about hard days hard, easy days easy, but the key thing is that we're not doing like a heavy or a hard lower body the day before you have a speed workout or the day before a long run. And you may have to kind of play with that a little too. Some folks realize they feel more sore 2 days after. And that could be because they are doing a very heavy lower body lift. So you're going to have to look at what your lifts look like. If you're doing a 20 to 30 minute full body, you're probably fine if you do that on Thursday, you're off on Friday and have your long run Saturday, probably fine. But if you do on Thursday an hour of lower body, it's possible that on Saturday your legs are still going to feel a little bit dead. So you've got to kind of look at that in your total. But what if you are doing them on the same day?
Yeah. So I know a few months ago, like this Runner's World article circulated that was like, you must separate your run and your lift by X hours. Otherwise, there's no benefit. And it's not that straightforward. And kind of like you said earlier, like people are living real lives. And sometimes we need to get things done versus to do things quote unquote perfectly. But a 2021 systematic review and meta-analysis published in Sports Medicine found that 2 or more hours of separation between an endurance activity and a resistance training activity reduces the interference effect, which is this not fully understood cellular mechanism that may moderately impair strength gains. So it reduced the interference effect, possibly because the athletes went into their lift fresher and they were able to lift more. They were able to have better form while lifting. But if you did endurance training and then went straight into lifting, gains were only moderately impaired. That doesn't mean that they were non-existent. It didn't mean the strength session didn't have any value. So it doesn't really come down to like, oh, you should never lift after you run because your strength session is pointless. Like if it works for you to lift right after your run, just focus on good form and know that something is better than nothing, especially for the reasons we're lifting as runners.
So we keep saying lifting, which leads me to one other common question, which is body weight strength training enough? And I'm sure we'll both kind of land in the same place on this, but I'd like to hear what your thoughts are.
Yeah, so I think it has to do again with like training background. So body weight is where you will need to start. If you are absolutely brand new to resistance training, there's a few benefits. One, you're going to be less sore. Two, it helps you learn the proper form. Like a lot of people will be like, I'm going to start lifting, and they'll go into the gym and they'll pick up a heavy weight and try to squat without knowing the form. And then they've thrown out their back. We don't want you to throw out your back ideally. So body weight gives you a chance to learn the form also. What approach do you take?
Yeah, I think it's a huge starting point. And I think it can be part of your routine forever. I mean, push-ups are forever like an exercise that is tough and you can build on. Yeah. Or even static lunges, like those can really burn. So I think it can always be part of a really good routine. And part of that is like we talked about with the mini bands, where we're doing these things that are almost helping with that endurance level of muscle strength. But it's different than picking up weights. So it's much harder to actually build muscle with body weight only. It's not impossible, but there tends to be a volume that is so much higher that makes it harder. So heavy lifting we see has different benefits for us. So as we've noted, when we're trying to curb the fact of muscle loss, or particularly for women, we know that there are hormonal benefits to doing the heavy lifting as well, bone density. So I think both can be important and useful over time, but I don't think once you've gotten down the basics that you should just stay at body weight.
I agree. And yeah, like you said, the way they impact the muscle, the damage done to the muscle, the adaptation response is different. It's important also that, like you said, the rep schemes of body weight training versus heavy lifting are going to be different. And I think sometimes that will take a big but necessary shift when you go from more introductory body weight work and you're doing two sets of like 12 to 20 reps to all of a sudden you're starting to lift. You're not going to keep doing those rep schemes. You're going to maybe do like three sets of 6 to 8 reps. It's a lot different.
Yeah, it's very different to actually do true heavy lifting where you need to take a break between sets and you're doing much lower reps. And I think that's a little hard for runners. I know I am not great at the whole like, oh, I need a minute between doing that. So that's when I will do some of the body weight stuff, like some core work or whatever, kind of in between while I'm letting the specific muscle that I just worked rest.
Yeah. And I think that can be also like a good gauge of like when you do start heavy lifting, like if you lift for say 5 or 6 reps and you don't feel like you need that 2-minute recovery in between, maybe you need to lift a little bit heavier, assuming that you aren't having poor form or feeling overly beat up afterwards.
It's been really interesting. Some of the strength coaches I follow, they really and truly got me to push my weight a little bit because they would say things like that. And I would kind of test things and realize like, oh, I could definitely lift heavier. I just thought this was heavy because of what I had been doing. But a lot of the times we can go heavier than we think. And again, this comes back to good form, proper technique, but then not being afraid to try it.
Yeah. Cause like the thing I always tell my athletes is like, do a set, try the weight. If you finish that set and you feel like you could do several more reps or you don't want to take that rest period, try a heavier weight for the next set. You can always go down for your 3rd and 4th sets, but it's kind of is one of those things like you never know until you push yourself out of your comfort zone a little while being safe, obviously.
Which leads to the next question, which is upper body strength important for runners? And obviously in my schedule, I listed upper body multiple times. And part of that is because I enjoy training it much more than lower body.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's nice to like spare your legs occasionally. But beyond that, there are benefits. There was a study in the American Journal of Physical Anthropology that showed neuromuscular coordination and being able to like keep your head stable. So like those muscles in your upper back go into your neck and they help with head control. It helps you maintain posture during long runs or speed workouts. It gives you power through the arm swing. And then like when I was in grad school, we would always talk about just activities of daily life and how resistance training helps with activities of daily life. And even if your main sport is running, you still want to be able to pick up your kid, to carry in a heavy package from the front door, to move furniture if you need to be able to function, especially with age.
Yep. I think just that overall balanced muscle building to me is such a big thing. And because we aren't using our arms while we're running, I mean, we are, but we're not. I think that's the other reason I kind of like to lift them. So I feel like I'm getting a little bit more balance in my week. The other thing is when you're doing a lot of your upper body, it's another chance to be working on that core and that stabilization a lot of the times. So it's just another chance of like, there's some interesting things you could do. Like say you're laying on your back to do a chest press and you bring your legs up to 90 degrees and then you only do one arm at a time. You have to really stabilize your core so that you're not rolling to the side. Well, that's really beneficial when you then go to run. So that happens in a lot of upper body movements where you're doing one side at a time. So besides just sort of the muscular benefit, there is a lot of stabilization happening that's going to benefit you when you go to run.
This is like giving me flashbacks of like my most recent strength routine where everything was like a half kneeling landmine press or single arm rows or all the stuff that really does do like the sneaky core work. And sometimes it's nice because like if you do the right upper body work and you do the right lower body work and you do some total body movements, you don't need to spend like hours doing core specific work then. You're using your core in functional strength training.
Absolutely, absolutely. So then the question becomes, how much and how often do we need to strength train? And I know there's some interesting studies. I will say in general, I tell my athletes that I'd like to see a minimum of 2 days a week. And if I can even get 20 minutes full body, like I will take it as a minimum.
Oh yeah, like a little bit can go a long way. There was a 2022 study in Research Quarterly that found even like one set of 6 reps to failure had benefit for strength and muscle mass. Same with a I believe, 2022 review in Sports Medicine. Little bits go a long way. And I think that Sports Medicine one looked at like just 10 to 15 minutes of strength training a few times throughout the week. And so like for a lot of runners, I find if you don't have time to do, say, 2 30- to 40-minute sessions, if we can do maybe 3 15-minute sessions even throughout the week, and then you're doing your warm-up and stuff, that can be enough, especially for time-limited athletes.
I know David Roche, who you've mentioned before, has a couple of routines that are like 3 minutes and 8 minutes, and they're like super basic to just hit the legs and have people do those like 4 times a week. Because sometimes it's easier to get you to put in like a little movement snack than to schedule in a whole strength routine. So I think this keeps coming back to what we've said, that like it all adds up. There are some ideal scenarios where we would get you to do like a 30 minute, maybe a 40 minute, but whatever you can consistently keep adding and keep building on is going to really benefit.
Oh, yes. 100%. And like kind of the exercise snack thing you said, a lot of times people are like, what if I have to break it up over the day? And if that's what it takes for you to get it in, like you do some push-ups here, some calf raises there, that's better than nothing.
What about when it comes time to taper and go into a race? I think we've talked a little about this in marathon training, but good to kind of just refresh here. So even if you have been doing weightlifting for a long time, you're very well versed in it, still when you're coming into a goal race, we scale back that strength with the idea that we want your body to have a chance to fully recover. So depending on the length of the race, I am generally taking out all weighted work for 1 to 2 weeks, usually 2 weeks if it's a marathon and they're going for a PR. I'm taking out the majority of their weighted work and doing a little bit more of that kind of body weight stuff that we kind of mentioned for preventative. What are you doing?
Yeah, so usually I begin like actually scaling back the volume of their strength workouts during the peak weeks. So maybe we drop from like 2 lifts to 1 lift and 1 mobility prehab type session. We start scaling back reps and sets closer to the race. And then usually I remove strength training about 7 to 14 days before the race, because it's like you want, like you said, your muscles to be rested. You also want your nervous system to be rested. And all these workouts do tax your nervous system. We want to go into the race able to push hard, both physically and mentally. And you're not going to lose all your muscle mass if you stop lifting for a few weeks. There's even a study, I know we've referenced it before, that found that removing strength training like 4 to 5 weeks before a race still maintained the benefits. So if you're exhausted, take it out earlier.
Yep, that's a great reminder that it makes sense during peak week where we're looking at your total energy and how things are going that you may need to drop it a little more then. I know Coach Caitlin on my team put together like a 12-week heavy lifting program specifically for runners, and she goes through in there very specifically like, okay, say you're only on week 8 of this and you're coming in to taper, like, cool, jump ahead and do week 12 that is designed specifically for that. And then guess what? When you come back, like maybe we'll restart on like week 5 and then rebuild back into things, because you won't need to go all the way back to where you were at week 1. Like, yeah, you're not losing everything.
I feel like we could talk on this topic, but we're coming towards time. So what would you leave listeners in thinking about hybrid training, like you said earlier, doing strength training plus running?
I think I would say keep it simple, just meaning that you don't need a super complex workout. You don't need tons and tons of variation, like you said. You can get a ton out of simply doing reverse lunges and squats and planks, side planks, step ups, side steps, like, and then slowly adding weight to those things. So none of that is crazy. All of that is stuff where you can figure out good form and then slowly add some weight to it. So you don't have to do something with a stability ball, or you don't need a, you know, fancy equipment to just kind of get started with things.
Yeah. Oh, that's such good advice. The 2 things I would leave with, because I feel like they're both important. And one we kind of touched on earlier when we were talking about our schedules was strength training is not a rest day activity. Rest days are rest days. Strength training is still breaking down your muscles. So even if like you only have that one day available for strength training, it makes sense. Maybe try a minimal dose approach. Instead, make sure you still have a rest day as a true rest day. Number two, like runners are always so worried, am I going to get bulky if I strength train? And the answer is no. A, that interference effect we talked about kind of inhibits it on a cellular level, but it also takes a lot of work to bulk up. Like it's not this easy thing that just magically happens the moment you pick up a kettlebell. Bulking takes very specific strength workouts, often at a higher frequency than you would do as a runner. They obviously aren't doing all the running training like runners are, and it takes a very specific diet. So you might not even notice any changes in body composition from strength training. You're definitely not going to get too bulky to run.
For sure. All right, listeners, thank you for joining us again. And we hope that you'll take a second to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help other folks to find us, and we hope it helps them to enjoy running more.
And as always, you can reach out to us on Instagram at @treadlightlyrunning with episode requests, questions for us to answer at the start. Thank you for listening.